Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I just sent you a clip, Matt DeSantis, of Bill Murray talking about Trump, and it does not appear to be artificial intelligence, although you always have to check these things in this day and age. It does not appear to be in any way, shape, or form artificial intelligence. I hear your microphone's on now. I can hear the static, so do you have it?
I've got it. It's ready to go. Yep.
All right. So, again, I love Bill Murray. Caddyshack. I mean, one of the greatest movies of all time, Stripes, Groundhog Day. How can you not love this man? Take a listen to this.
He's just such a different character than anyone that's ever been a president of the United States, I think. I think this is what this vote means, is that the country is dissatisfied with the way that Washington has worked for the last couple of decades. You know, they're lazy and they're about inhibiting the other side. They're not about working together at all. And it's sort of become such a national disgrace, a quiet national disgrace. He's just...
Now, this is from apparently... I don't know if this is an older clip or what, but I think this is from 2016. Now, I got to do more digging on this. Somebody just sent this to me, but I wanted you to be the first to hear it, because if Bill Murray's a Trump guy, then I'm even more in love than I ever thought possible. But either way, even if he's not, I mean, he's still one of the best. Florida Attorney General, everyone should be waking up this morning outraged. They have taken the FEMA emergency food and shelter program. This is unbelievable. Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody on Fox News expressing, I think, how we all feel about this. Cut number three.
Yeah, everyone should be waking up this morning outraged by that comment. This is not something that has just happened recently, and Florida's been warning about this since this administration took over. Mayorkas has come in like a virus and infected these what need to be healthy, strong, fundamental programs to ensure the stability and safety of Americans in times of disaster. So you heard, they have taken the FEMA Emergency Food and Shelter Program and over time siphoned off hundreds of millions of dollars into basically making it an illegal immigrant resettlement program. And so when you see these states and cities around the nation declaring emergencies, even blue states, because of what this administration has done, encouraging more and more and more, developing programs to encourage more and more and more people to come here, the government, Biden and Harris, are having to fund that on the backs of the American people. And now, right now, when Florida, North Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia, all of these states are hurting because of this truly natural disaster, not a Biden-Harris-made disaster, they're saying we need more money. And of course they need more money because they've been laundering.
You know, she's right to be outraged. Everybody should be, for FEMA to be out of money. But not only that, too, all the money we gave to Ukraine. I got to share a text message I got from my buddy Greg Edwards. He said, so what would the longshoremen do when every product is made in the United States? And why is it still acceptable to call them longshoremen? Boom. I like that. Good job. And I want to give myself a pat on the back for my tweet yesterday. The bad news, the Inspector General report finds the TSA let non-citizens without ID board domestic flights. The good news, none of them got bottles of Dasani past security. Boom. That's a good tweet right there by me, if you ask me. I don't normally brag about my own tweets, but that's a good tweet. Here is Kamala Harris right now. In 2019, you said you were in favor of banning fracking. Now have you changed your views on fracking? Cut number nine.
Wanted to ask you, there's a political ad on TV from a 2019 Climate Hall town meeting that you had, in which you basically said, quote, "There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking," unquote. The ad claims that if you're elected president, you will ban fracking and you will cost Pennsylvania over 300,000 jobs. Have you changed your view on fracking? And if so, why?
So let me start by saying that that ad, as you described it, is absolutely a mischaracterization that I think is intended to make people afraid of my presidency. Let me be absolutely clear, as I've been when I said it back in 2020. I will not ban fracking. I did not as vice president. In fact, I cast the tie-breaking vote to open up more fracking leases.
Does anyone believe her? You know, I mean, she joked about it on and did a poem about it on one of the late night comedy shows. She said she wanted to ban it. I don't think, and again, I don't believe her, but I don't think people in the industry who hear that believe her. I really don't. And if they believe her, they don't think she's going to do anything to help the industry grow. They don't think she's going to do anything to help fracking expand, liquid natural gas export facilities, none of that. I think at the end of the day, Trump wins Pennsylvania. He wins the White House. I think the fracking issue is going to be one of those reasons why. One of those reasons why, absolutely. Trump said this country's being run by fools, calls the Biden response a disgrace. That's what he said. This is a disgrace, what's happening right now. And it is a disgrace. Even the governor of Georgia came out and said he can't. Could you imagine if a Republican was in charge right now, this disastrous recovery? It would be what they did to George Bush, right, over Katrina. And it's unbelievable to me. Here's this. I heard this on Dawn's show today. It's great. This Florida State Guardsman rips government. Actually, I don't have time for that. Hang on. Let me do this. Let me play this. This is a North Carolina resident pleading for help. Cue up cut number four. We haven't seen FEMA. No agencies have come through here. This is a person on the ground. North Carolina. Cut four.
We haven't seen FEMA, we haven't seen Red Cross, we haven't seen Hearts with Hands, we've seen no agencies come through here. Most people drive through with their cameras out, filming us like we're animals in a zoo, and don't stop.
That's what I'm telling you right there. Now, you want to know how I know Kamala Harris is a terrible, 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 terrible candidate? It's this. Ready? So John Tester, let's get cut 20 ready. John Tester, Democrat senator from Montana, won't say if he's voting for Kamala Harris or if she will make the country better if elected. He's fighting for his seat in the United States Senate. Polls show that he's probably going to lose that seat. But this is what a drag Kamala Harris is. All right? Cut 20.
Harris is obviously making this harder for you. You're not endorsing her. So,
well, that's because they don't want this race to be nationalized any more than they want it to be nationalized. I want to talk about Montana. That's what this race is about.
But would you vote for her?
That's between me and the ballot box.
But do you think that she would make the country better if she was president?
Look, I've been appreciating some of the things she said because she's moderated on a lot of issues, which is what happens when you get to be in a position where you are going to make a difference.
I don't want this race to be nationalized anymore. Dude, you're running for the United States Senate. Last time I checked, that's literally a federal office. Again, last time I checked. What a freaking loser. I mean, but that shows you, right, how toxic she is. It shows you how toxic Kamala Harris is. I know you might say, oh, it's Montana, but dude won. I mean, he's a Democrat. Won. Trying to run as far away from her as he possibly can. Not good. Oh, who's that Democrat congresswoman, Matt, who got in trouble for handicapped parking spots? Where's that? I sent that earlier. Now I can't find it.
Was there audio attached to that?
No. Just a story I thought was great. Pennsylvania Democrat Representative Susan Wild. Her car was booted in Washington after racking up $775 in fines parking in a handicapped spot. Look at that. Yeah, I guess she serves in Bethlehem, PA, in that neighborhood, Pennsylvania's toss-up 7th district. She owes $775 for four separate violations. Her Toyota doesn't even drive American. Toyota RAV4, they towed it. Violations in the district, including illegally parking in a handicapped spot. They put a boot on it. They put a boot on the congresswoman's car. Now, to get the boot removed, she's going to have to pony up at least $475 of what she owes. That's the cost of two tickets for tag and speeding violations she committed in December and May. two other tickets, which account for the remaining $300 that Congresswoman Wild owes, are for separate tag and speeding violations she committed in May and July. She's got a Ukrainian flag on the car and a whole bunch of wacky bumper stickers, too. I'll tell you what, these people think that they're above the law. They think they're better for it. I think they're better than you. I'm just saying. Just saying. I think they're better than you. Yeah, the Ukraine bumper sticker's classic, isn't it? It's so great. It's classic. Oh, it's exactly, you could not get more cliche than that. I'm just surprised it's not a Prius.
It is a hybrid.
Oh, it is a hybrid?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then there you go, I guess, you know. I guess that counts. So, oh man, feds say there's no money left after FEMA spent close to $1 billion on illegal immigrants. Unbelievable. I wanted to play this clip too. I got a lot. Oh, how about which one? Which one did I want to play? It's great audio today, and we took calls, so we're gonna have to leave it. We're gonna have to leave a lot of this for tomorrow. Oh yeah, this reporter to Kamala Harris. President Trump said you've had 4 years. Vice President, why didn't you do all the things you haven't done? Why didn't you do all those things? Great question. Why haven't you done these things? Cut 10.
Former President Trump says that you've had 4 years as vice president to do all the things you've promised in the campaign, but haven't done it. Is he right, or did President Biden not give you or limited in some way your role as vice president?
So let's start with this. I think that the former president is really becoming quite desperate and is really been offering a lot of misstatements and misinformation. And perhaps it's because he wants to distract from the fact that he has offered no plan for the American people. I have talked about this before. I invite you to go to his rallies, and what you'll hear about full time is him talking about himself and his personal grievances. But what you won't hear him talking about is you and the needs that you have as a working person, as a family
so
person.
Rehearsed.
My plan is about building an opportunity economy where I'm going to give first-time home buyers a $25,000 down payment assistance so they can get their foot in the door to be able to be a homeowner. My plan is about
$6,000. That's enough. That's it. It's just my point is so scripted. Practice it in front of a mirror. Say it again. Practice it on a tape recorder. Say it again. Again, try it one more time. And she still can't get it right. Babu, 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 babu. Nothing authentic about this candidate. Nothing. Terrible candidate. Biden knows she's going to lose. Biden loves it. Oh, he loves it. He loves it. Now, Sonny Hostin's a disgrace. Sonny Hostin, she's like that psycho who calls up the show, Matt. You know that guy that's obsessed with Melania Trump and thinks he has a shot with her?
Yeah, he's always saying that Melania's going to leave the Donald.
Yeah. This guy is convinced that Melania's going to leave Trump, and I guess he thinks in some way, if she did, he has a shot with her.
What if it was Sonny Hostin the entire time? That'd be kind of cool.
Like Agatha all along, like that?
Yeah.
just disguising her voice. So here's what Sonny Hostin said on The View. These people are despicable. Take a listen.
I think she hates him.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Okay, so we can all
agree
on that. That's a given.
I
also think that she wants to take him out. She does not want to be the first lady anymore.
They agree with you.
She doesn't want to be the first lady. She destroyed the Rose Garden. Who hates Christmas? Melania Trump hates Christmas. She doesn't want to decorate for Christmas. She doesn't want
care.
Anything
she doesn't
to do with
care
him.
About that, yeah.
She doesn't want to sleep in the same room with him. She can't tolerate him.
Allegedly.
And she does.
Yeah, how do you know all this?
Yeah,
how do you know all this?
Allegedly. That's why I say allegedly.
How do you know any of that? How do you know any of those things? Unbelievable. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention is that California Governor Gavin Newsom signed an unconstitutional law which would ban deepfakes. Now, I told you this was unconstitutional, but he did it anyway because he's a tyrant, and that's what tyrants do. They don't care about the Constitution. Well, a judge has blocked that law. Good. Good for that judge. A federal judge today blocked a California measure restricting the use of digitally altered political deepfakes just 2 weeks after California Governor Gavin Newsom signed the bill into law. The ruling is a blow to a push by the state's leading Democrats to rein in misleading content on social media ahead of Election Day. Mr. Reagan on X, a guy named Chris Coles, sued to prevent the state from enforcing the law after posting an AI-generated video of a Harris campaign ad on social media. He claimed the video was protected by the First Amendment because it was parody. The judge agreed. Most of the law acts as a hammer instead of a scalpel. The judge said it's a blunt tool that hinders humorous expression and unconstitutionally stifles the free and unfettered exchange of ideas. Good for this judge. Excellent. I'm sure there'll be a lot more on this, but it's a big blow to Gavin Newsom. All right, it's debate night in Pennsylvania tonight. I'll give you a little bit of a preview, my thoughts on that. More on the dock workers as we continue our fourth and final hour. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, yeah, baby. We're kicking. We're cooking with gasoline. Sorry, it's been a long show. We're excited, though. We're excited because a week from tomorrow, we're back in Cape May live at the Grand Hotel. I'm excited. Hope you're going to join us for it. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right. It's going to be fun as we continue along here in our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD, getting ready for the big debate tonight between the lesser Casey Punxsutawney, Bob Casey, and Dave McCormick. I'm excited for it. And there was a piece today that I loved because I've been saying that he's like the groundhog for years. I've been saying that he shows his face every 6 years and then he just disappears again and nobody hears from him. You know what I mean? And it's exactly like the groundhog. It's exactly like Punxsutawney Phil. Pennsylvania's Democrat Senator Casey leads the polls, but Dave McCormick is putting up a real fight. And this Wall Street Journal piece by Kyle Peterson, I thought it was really good. He says, you know, who's to blame for the $12 Philly cheesesteak that used to cost $9.75? That's what Dave McCormick, Pennsylvania's GOP nominee for Senate, wants voters to ponder as they go to the polls November 5th. Asked about inflation last week at a business roundtable in the Philadelphia suburb, McCormick argued it was very predictable after Democrats spent trillions of dollars while also constraining fossil fuel development. Those policies, he said, have hurt working families the most. Casey has a different theory. He said in his mushy mouth way, you see it with all kinds of food and grocery stores, people paying more, and these big corporations are laughing all the way to the bank. I do love that one ad that's out there where he goes, you got boneless chicken going up 36%. Casey recently told an audience with Senator Elizabeth Warren by his side, you know, judge a person by the character of the company they keep. So he's hanging out with America's mother-in-law, who's an outright socialist, an unabashed hater of corporate America, capitalism, and anyone making money. In campaign videos, he inveighs what he calls greedflation and shrinkflation. His Senate office issued a report this summer criticizing Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and other digital media streaming services for steadily increasing their prices, which he said was streamflation. But interestingly enough, did you know that he did not go after Amazon? Do you want to know why? Because he got big campaign donations. That's why. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's the truth. He's one of those guys. He let Amazon Prime off the hook. Broad and Liberty had a piece on this. Todd Shepard back in August. Senator Casey blasts streaming services but goes light on major donor Amazon Prime. U.S. Senator Bob Casey recently aimed his inflation anger at video streaming services, saying major television and movie streamers have been raising prices while paring back their content offerings, something that fits into Casey's greedflation campaign promise, in which he blames corporations rather than government spending for the inflation that has eroded the purchasing power of average Americans for the last 3 years. In making these attacks, however, Casey goes head-to-head with corporations like Disney, Hulu, Paramount, and Netflix, but he gives only light mention to Amazon Prime, the second largest video streaming service in America. Amazon, meanwhile, has been the greatest corporate donor out of all the streaming services to Casey's campaign committee, as well as his leadership PAC, donating more than three times more than all the other entertainment streaming services combined. That's what they say. Follow the money. The Fazools. Publicly available records at the Federal Election Commission show Amazon has given $38,000 to the two Casey committees. Disney and Paramount, meanwhile, have donated a paltry $9,000 and $4,000, respectively, to Casey's committees. So, you know, if you pay up, he'll go a little bit easy on you. But, you know, not with that kind of cash. $9,000, $4,000? Nah, you're going to get smacked with that. The press release that he put out back then. Streaming platforms, including Netflix, Paramount, and HBO Max, are increasing subscription prices and decreasing the content available for consumers. This is his press release. While streaming companies squeezed American families with higher prices, executives reported a combined total of $170 million in compensation in 2023, a significant increase from the year prior. Read Casey's latest Greedflation Spotlight, a steady stream of price hikes, how streaming services put profit over consumers here. And he goes on to hammer the companies that didn't give him as much money as Amazon did. So back to Todd Shepard's investigative piece at Broad and Liberty. The online press release links to a longer paper that goes in depth on how streamers have worked to increase profits in recent years. According to a Broad and Liberty analysis, the paper makes mention of these companies the following number of times. Netflix, 27 times. Disney, 9. Max, which is HBO, 7. Paramount, 5. Amazon, 1. Yet when it comes to monetizing video streaming, Amazon has been at least as controversial as any of its other top competitors. When Amazon first introduced Prime TV as a companion streaming service to its Prime membership services, the streaming service had no advertisements, a major selling point to induce customers to buy a membership. But in January this year, Amazon introduced advertising into much of its natively produced content, allowing people to opt out of ads by purchasing more expensive tiers of Amazon Prime. Quote, these company promises to have meaningfully fewer ads that linear TV and other streaming TV providers have without being specific, but some ads are more than no ads. Viewers are angry, creators are angry, and there isn't even much demand from advertisers themselves, but the changes here nonetheless, is what USA Today said about it at the time. It didn't take long for someone to launch a class action lawsuit against Amazon, which as of this publication was one of only six American companies with a market capitalization over $1 trillion. Keeping with this campaign theme of greedflation, Casey calls these tactics streamflation, as he tries to pin inflation on corporate tactics and not government spending, knowing that inflation that has occurred since 2021 will certainly be one of the top issues in a year in which he seeks reelection. An inflation calculator provided by the U.S. Bureau of Labor and Statistics shows a person in July 2024 would need $120 in order to purchase the same amount of goods as $120 could buy in January of 2021. See, now, that's why I say when you think back to January 2021, people don't care about January 6th. They care about the $6 they had in January of 2021 because it went a lot further back then. I thought that was an interesting point, how Casey will, save his ire for the streaming services that, you know, wet the campaign beak a little bit, you know, hey. McCormick, sensing a comedic opening, is now telling voters to check out bobflation.com to see how prices of some classic Pennsylvania items have jumped in recent years, including that Philly cheesesteak, as well as for 6-inch hoagie from Wawa. Bob Casey has no sense of how the economy works, McCormick said at a campaign stop. That's why he thinks the problem is greedflation, shrinkflation, or these other things. Now, the Wall Street Journal points out if Mr. Casey has the worst of the argument on inflation, he enjoys other advantages, including an 18-year incumbency in a state where registered Democrats outnumber Republicans 44-40%. But I have to tell you, though, that number is changing a lot. I mean, I saw some updates from my buddies over at PA Chase, Cliff Maloney. That registration number, they're flipping this. And Scott, Pressler, thank you. Pressler is doing God's work in also flipping this a lot. And then you have the enthusiasm factor among Democrats, which is down too. Now, polls show he's about 4 or 5 points ahead. I don't know if I really believe that. I really don't. I think this race is a lot closer. And I think it's going to be tied to Trump. I really do. And I think Trump's numbers are closer in Pennsylvania than anybody says as well. And I think that if you look at it, and I always go to the Real Clear Politics average on this day, which I think is important to note. So you look at on this day, and you go to battleground states. Let's go to Pennsylvania, because I tell you all the time, whoever wins Pennsylvania wins the White House. So back on this day in history, October 3rd, 2020, Biden was up 6.4 points. Biden did not win Pennsylvania by 6.4 points. Some people say Biden didn't win Pennsylvania at all, that the Pennsylvania Supreme Court won. But Trump right now is either tied or up three, or Harris is up five in one outlier poll. But otherwise, the race is basically a tie. At this point in 2016, Clinton was up 3.2. So if you factor that in, you got to say that there's a big advantage for Trump, that polls just don't reflect that. The polls just don't reflect that. And then I think you're going to have some voters just coming home to Trump who had previously been never Trumpers. My favorite clip of the day by far is when Ari Melber has this guy on his show, this never Trump guy, this guy, Sondland, who said he was never vote for Trump because of January 6th. He was a never Trumper, right? He was an impeachment witness and he broke with Trump over January the 6th. And now he's going to vote for him. And MSNBC, Ari Melber, lost his freaking mind over this. I think there's going to be a lot of people like this who they were disgusted at January 6th, but they're more disgusted at everything else that's going on since January 6th, like from January 7th on. And they're thinking, you know what? I think the greater threat to democracy is inflation, the open border, the two wars that we have going on in this world. I think those things are a greater threat to democracy than one day was 4 years ago where they didn't overthrow the U.S. government. So, but this is a great clip. Listen to this. I love this. I love this.
A no for you after that. Why was it important for you to say no more Trump
Gordon
because
Sondland.
Of his January 6th conduct? And do you stand by that?
No, I don't stand by it. And I'll tell you why. I've now lived 4 years under the Biden-Harris policies. And I have to say that those policies are not only becoming an existential threat to our country's way of life, but to our allies as well.
So when you,
and
this
it has
is,
to,
this is,
no,
so
no,
Ambassador,
me, no,
this is, I'll let you finish, but
no,
this is so striking. You said it was a no for me after that, January 6th.
I did.
And here we are right now.
I did.
And you're saying it's a yes for you.
It is a yes for me. It is an absolute yes for me. That is how badly the Biden-Harris team have prosecuted their job.
But the whole point you seem to be making was that January 6th and that kind of attack on democracy is bigger than any
but
policy.
I am seeing so many attacks on democracy that eclipse January 6th.
So I want to ask Sarah.
He's not happy about this. Not happy about that at all. It's Gordon Sondland, who was an ambassador. So I think you have a lot of people who do that, too. It's like, I don't like Trump. I didn't like January 6th, whatever. But then I'm going to turn around and I'm just going to vote for him because this country's a freaking mess. This country's a disaster. You know, I mean, it's a mess. Even the hurricane victims, what are they getting, $750 each? If they just identified as Ukrainian, I think they could get billions of dollars. And what do you have? You have little Pete Buttigieg telling people not to fly drones? Really? That's what we have.
Our goal is to make sure that funding is no obstacle to very quickly getting people the relief that they need and deserve. There's also some safety issues that come up. For example, temporary flight restrictions to make sure that the airspace is clear for any flights or drone activity that might be involved in helping to allow those emergency responders to do their job.
So no, don't fly your drones. I heard Dawn's show today with that helicopter pilot. The guys out there like, listen, I went down here to me and a civilian in our private helicopter rescued that baby. And we rescued a woman who was going to die. You know, she was going to die because nobody was coming to save her. And then this idiot, they're doing nothing here. And so we're going to give them $750 if you lost your home due to flooding from Hurricane Helene. That's what we're going to give you, $750. We'll give Ukraine billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars. But you Americans, you lost everything? You get $750.
And the federal relief and assistance that we have been providing has included FEMA providing $750 for folks who need immediate needs being met.
I've also directed the development of Starlink, the deployment of Starlink satellites. 50 are in place right now. More are going to be put in place so people in places like Canton can call for help and reach the ones that loved ones who they're not sure. But anybody other than that.
Anybody better? We've sent $100 billion, over $100 billion to Ukraine. Over $100 billion. And we're going to give $750. And the Starlink satellites, which if they, the government had not canceled the contract as a giant FU to Elon Musk, they'd all be in place anyway. The Starlink satellites, it's Elon Musk. They wasted all this money, billions of dollars wasted on this broadband internet scam. And they could have had Elon Musk Starlink do it, but they didn't want to because they hate Elon Musk because he dared to allow X, formerly known as Twitter, to be a free speech platform. And so for that reason, and because he supports Trump, they're like, eh. So they cancel Starlink, the contracts they have with him, which would have provided broadband access to all these areas. Now they're using it because they have no choice. And then they spent billions of dollars on broadband, and they didn't deliver broadband to a single customer. This government is so inefficient and incompetent. This administration is so inefficient and incompetent. And I just think it is such an FU to the people of the United States of America. $750 to you and $120, $150, $200 billion to Ukraine. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. That's how it is. Whatever it takes. All right. A lot more to come here on our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Oh, yeah, baby. Kate May, 1 week from tomorrow. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Well, we have some breaking news in our fourth and final hour. The strike is over. That's right. The longshoreman strike is over for now. Thanks to Chris Eppolito, my man, for sending this to me. I guess his brother's a longshoreman. And he sent me the actual statement just a moment ago on Twitter. So it's going to be suspended till January 15th. Here's what it says. The International Longshoremen's Association joint statement regarding master contract. The International Longshoremen's Association and the United States Maritime Alliance have reached a tentative agreement on wages and have agreed to extend the master contract until January 15th, 2025, to return to the bargaining table to negotiate all other outstanding issues. Effective immediately, all current job actions will cease, and all work covered by the master contract will resume. So there you go. The strike is over, at least for now. So there you have it. Great. Great news. That's great news. Fantastic news. And only a couple days, so the panic buying hopefully didn't take too much. But you know what? It's never a bad idea to prep for the end of the world. So if you did a little panic buying, it's all right. You know what I mean? There you go. It's all right. But that's good. It's great news. Great news. Fantastic news. I don't have a lot of the details of it, but it's interesting that they're going to wait until January. I think here's my thinking. My thinking is they know that Trump's going to win, and they believe that it's going to be better to deal with Trump, and they don't want to. I don't know. It's hard to analyze it. Had they kept this going, it would have wreaked havoc on the economy and it would have hurt Kamala Harris. No question about it. Maybe Biden was threatening to send them back. I don't think so. But I guess we'll get more details on this. But this is all coming out right now. So dock workers agree to delay the walkout until January 15th. The big issue is going to be automation. It's not the money. It's not the money. It's the automation. I mentioned this clip earlier, Steve Scalise on Fox News this morning. I want to play it for you because that's really what we're talking about here. These guys ultimately don't want to see any robots. And that's what, like, Dennis Daggett was saying and these other things. Now, this clip's a little bit long, but it's worth hearing. Steve Scalise and Lawrence Jones this morning on Fox News, Fox and Friends, talking about this automation issue. And cut 18, Matt.
Is Congress going to step in here? It looks like the president has made it very clear. He's standing with the workers right now.
Yeah, right now, under the law, Lawrence, going to be with you, Taft-Hartley allows the president to intervene and break it. president said, we're just going to let it go on and wreck the economy. I mean, we're losing over $5 billion a day, and costs are going to start going up even higher on families who are already struggling under the Biden-Harris inflation economy. Food on the shelves is going to become more scarce. You know, look at Congress. I mean, in the House, we're surely not going to support some kind of deal that says no automation. Imagine that. They want to go back to the Flintstones. I mean, I would bet you they've got more technology and automation in their homes, in their refrigerator, in their smart TV than they want to have on a dock when we're competing globally. We're not just competing one city against another. You know, you've got ports all around the world that are heavily automated, and they still have humans, by the way, who actually run the devices. These automated devices aren't running themselves, but they're already making, with overtime, over $200,000 a year in some cases. And they want to shut the economy down to get more. At some point, who pays for this? And this will add even more to inflation. There are a lot of families making $50,000 a year that are saying, please stop adding to the costs. And Biden and Harris won't do anything because they want to see those prices keep going up.
What tool do y'all have? The president looks like he's going to stay out of it. He's not going to use an act. But what can you guys do to make sure this doesn't get crazy?
Yeah, and I mean, look, again, if the House and Senate had some kind of close symmetry on how to resolve it, that would be one thing. There is none. You know, can you imagine us in a room with Chuck Schumer and he's siding with them saying, ban automation? You know, this isn't the 1950s. We're in 2024. We have a lot of technology that could be implemented to actually make us more efficient. Wouldn't be less jobs. It would just be more efficient jobs. And they want to block that. We're not going to support that kind of backward thinking.
All right, so that's the issue, and that I imagine will still be the issue in January. But for now, the strike is averted, they're back to work, and there you go. All right? The other breaking news, and that's great news. It's great news because none of us need this right now. None of us needed to have any of this nonsense happen. Holidays around the corner, and everything's so expensive. And then, like I told you, I wasn't rooting for this strike, despite what some of my trolls on Twitter say. I was just analyzing the politics of it and said, you know, if it was disruptive to the economy, it would certainly be a reflection on this administration. It just would be. That's the bottom line. The fake musician of the working class. You know, I always say Howard Stern is the fake. He's a caricature of what he used to mock. Woke Howard Stern, hates Trump supporters, hates you if you're a Trump supporter. You probably used to listen to the guy. You probably helped make the guy rich, filthy rich. Generational wealth, hates you. Well, the working man's fake singer, Bruce Springsteen, endorses Kamala Harris, calls Trump the most dangerous candidate in my lifetime. I'm not surprised by this, but I'll tell you, it means nothing because the night before, I still remember this to this day, election night, 2016, I was in afternoons. Dawn was with me. We left the studio. Back then, we were on 400 Market Street, and we were only on until 6 p.m., you know, a normal shift. And the two of us walked out together, and we saw this concert at the mall, Independence Mall. It was Bruce Springsteen, Farmer Bruce. I don't know if he had the EIEIO band with him, fake Farmer Bruce, and fake Farmer John Bon Jovi. And they did a free concert for Hillary Clinton. But I remember Dawn's observation that night, which is, it's all white people. It's all white people here. Trump's going to win. So Springsteen is another fraud. You know what I mean? He posted a nearly three-minute video to his social media pages Thursday afternoon. He recorded this from inside Roberto's Freehold Grill in Freehold. Hey, it's Bruce Springsteen, and I want to tell you, Trump is the most dangerous man in my lifetime. I can only imagine the damage that he'll do to America. Oh, and by the way, I'm a fake farmer, and I took advantage of tax credits intended for real farmers, but I'm going to endorse Democrats who want to raise taxes and destroy the economy. Friends, fans, and the press have asked me who I'm supporting. Nobody doubted who you're supporting, you phony. Nobody doubted this. But nobody cares. No one cares who Bruce Springsteen is backing. No one cares who Howard Stern's backing either. But it's funny, though, because, right, I mean, didn't Bruce, another one, he made his bones off being the guy who related to the working man, the working men and women. He's so out of touch with that. Same with Stern. So out of touch with that. Meanwhile, Trump out there today showing empathy for the, yeah, Bruce. All right, let's hear fake farmer Bruce Springsteen and his endorsement of Kamala Harris. Go ahead.
Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
Friends, fans, and the press have asked me who I'm supporting in this most important of elections. and with full knowledge that my opinions no more or less important than those of any of my fellow citizens, here's my answer. I'm supporting Kamala Harris for president and Tim Walz for vice president and opposing Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. Here's why. We are shortly coming upon one of the most consequential elections in our nation's history. Perhaps not since the Civil War has this great country felt as politically, spiritually, and emotionally divided as it does then at this moment. It doesn't have to be this way. The common values, the shared stories that make us a great and united nation are waiting to be rediscovered and retold once
again. That's enough of that. I don't hear any nonsense. It's enough. You're phony. Him and Stern, two of them, phonies. Cory Booker. Oh, yeah. So another one. Count Grandstangela, Spartacus Booker, and the Tears of Rage Band, which is a bad Springsteen cover band. He's very happy about this. Very excited, Matt.
Oh, yeah. He reposted the video and everything.
Oh, he's very excited. Look at him. Two frauds. Booker's another fraud. Used to be all about school choice and charter schools, and he ran for mayor of Newark. Abandoned that as soon as he ran for statewide office. Guys are all frauds. So the working men and women who made Springsteen rich, the working men and women who made Howard Stern rich, and these guys are so rich now that it's money we can't even comprehend. Money we can't even comprehend. And the union guys and the union gals who Springsteen used to sing about and Howard Stern used to entertain on their drive into work. And, well, yeah, they're all with Trump. They're all with Trump. The elites hate Trump, and they hate Trump supporters. That's it. Bottom line. That's the bottom line here. So I'm not surprised by this, and it means nothing to. Who cares? Who the hell cares who Bruce Springsteen backs? Who cares who Taylor Swift backs? You know, actually, the Taylor Swift endorsement probably hurt Kamala Harris more than it helped her anyway. But no one cares. But they'll go with this, you know. I'm sure his royal rugness, King Philip the Unaccountable, will make some dumb joke that Springsteen will probably ignore, like the last time he made a joke at Taylor Swift that she ignored. You remember that? You remember that? He made a joke about, hey, Taylor, Phil Murphy here. It's Taylor Ham. But, you know, even in South Jersey, we call it, it used to be pork roll, but it's Taylor Ham in honor of Taylor Swift. And she completely ghosted him. Didn't respond in any way. Best way to lose her. Loser, you and your fake hair. Fake rug. All right, that's it. Breaking news. The strike is over. Delayed until January of 2025, when hopefully we'll have a new president on the way. And there you go. 1 week from tomorrow, live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Please join us for that. I'm very, very happy the strike is over, so you don't have to worry about staying home and doing any emergency buying or panic buying. Strike is over. Enjoy it. Love it. Thank you for listening to the show. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli, on Instagram at Zeoli Show. And you better be in Cape May a week from tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow, 3 to 7. Thank you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.